hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everybody had a blessed weekend, and it's a magnificent Monday today. Staying busy as always over here at Health Masters. How are you doing today, Dad?
Austin, I'm doing great. You know, Florida this time of the year is just an interesting place to be. I walked outside, and I felt like I got hit in the face with a bucket of hot water again, and I thought, wow, I'm not living up in the doggone North Pole freezing right now. How wonderful this, how wonderful this is. But I'm doing great, Austin, whether I get hit in the face with a bucket of hot water or not, man. Everything's going great.
Good, good. Well, speaking of that, down in Florida right now, the Brevard County Sheriff, Wayne Ivey, posted a video last week. I wanted to touch base on it today because I was really, really proud of what he was talking about, considering the fact that he was discussing almost the same thing verbatim of what I've been saying for years. I just talked about it on the show last week. He did a four-minute video, and he talks at the beginning of it. He said, folks, now more than ever is a time for our citizens to be prepared as a first line of defense, not only for them, but for their families when and if some type of attack happens. And he goes on to say, it doesn't necessarily mean it's a terrorist attack or anything. Anything can happen at any time, and it's up to the citizens, the patriots of this city, of this state, of this country, to be ready, well-armed, and prepared to defend themselves and their family members at any time possible. He goes on to say, if you have a concealed carry permit, you need to exercise it, and if you do, you need to train on a regular basis. I mean, basically the same exact thing I said. All these people over here in Orlando are having this big memorial for the gay bar Pulse shooting that was a year ago now. Everybody's over there, they're having this memorial, blah, blah, blah. The problem is, nobody wants to address the fact that everybody was disarmed in there because it was a bar, a place of nuisance, as they would call it, and everybody felt like they had to abide by those rules. And quite frankly, I don't know if anybody had a firearm in their car. I highly doubt they did, but it obviously made no help at all, if you even believe the entire narrative from that story. That's a whole other topic. So what I encourage people to do, and I have done so, and this is what this Brevard County Sheriff did, is make sure you know how to defend yourself and your family, and you have the means to do so, whatever means you choose. If guns are not your thing, it's okay. I'm not pushing anything on you. Choose what you're comfortable with, and if you go that route, make sure you know how to use it. But I was really, really impressed with the sheriff, Dad, that he's really encouraging that, because too many county sheriffs have gone the way of the totalitarian regime, especially out in California and areas like that, where they don't even want citizens to be able to own anything except for, like, over and under shotguns and bolt actions, which, I mean, not only are those bulky and big, you can't carry them around, they're not high capacity whatsoever, very, very low capacity, actually, 2 and 3 rounds. So, yeah, what he said on this was pretty, I was pretty stoked about it. So that's why I wanted to bring it up first thing on the show today.
You remember years ago, we were over at the Honda motorcycle dealership, and I forgot what we were doing. I think we were looking for a dirt bike for you. This has been a while back. This is probably 10 years ago. And I remember I was in there, and I was sitting on a motorcycle or sitting on a bike or sitting on a side-by-side. I forgot. I was sitting on something, probably on my bottom, right, Austin? I was sitting on my bottom one day at the motorcycle dealership, and this sheriff comes walking in full regalia, you know, stun guns, pistols, uniform, the whole bit. And he walks over, and I said, hey, officer, how are you doing? And I said, are you one of Grady Judd's boys? And he goes, I am. And this is our sheriff here is Grady Judd. He's the shoot him again, Grady Judd. I like Grady Judd. He's a personal friend of mine. I know him well. I suggest that all of you in your area, if you get to know your personal county sheriff, you do that. And the reason for that, he goes to my church. And so it was interesting because I started talking to the guy, and I said, I said, what do you think about concealed carry weapons? And he says, well, he goes, you know, I think everybody should have them. I said, well, I carry a Kimber, or I may have had a Glock, then I remember. And he said to me, everybody needs to carry it. And here's what he said to me. He reached over to me. I'm going to say this to you. Don't get mad at me, because it could be, we can go every direction. He goes, if all the white people carried a gun, we'd stop a lot of this crime. Look, Daddy, I started laughing. And I'll say it differently. If every law-abiding white person, black person, Hispanic, or anybody who believes in the Constitution and the freedom of these United States would carry a weapon, we would basically stop this crap. And that's what this is. It's garbage. I mean, we've allowed ourselves to be disarmed publicly. Now, the Pulse shooting, let me just go back to that little weirdness real quick. Number one, we've never seen the official report, coroner's report, anything report. Nobody ever said what really happened. I've never seen any official reports. Have you, Austin?
No, I've seen the one transcript that they released on it, but it was so garbled as far as what actually happened. And again, apparently from the transcript that I read was much, much different than even the media narrative put out there. And other than that, though, they still have never been able to 100% guarantee that there was only one person in that shooting, from multiple eyewitness accounts to even the law enforcement transcript. They were not confident that it was a single person shooting. They thought there were multiple people involved in that shooting, and only one of them got basically hung up in the bathroom where they supposedly killed him in there, which I don't doubt that probably happened. But the whole narrative of one guy coming in there, unloading hundreds and hundreds of rounds with a bone stock AR-15, which I went into this detail one time on the show before, by himself with a semi-automatic weapon in a club at night with smoke, with the lights off and strobes going, and ends up killing 49 individuals and severely wounding another 100 individuals. The statistical probability of that with a 5.56 caliber at night with 30-round magazine capacity was literally next to impossible. Now, I've had people argue with me on that. Most of the people that have argued with me on that have not had any type of significant hardcore training. And I'm not trying to put it out there like I'm hardcore with anything, but most people that argue that have never been in any type of high conflict shooting scenarios whatsoever. And the whole aspect with this was, it again reminded me so much of the Adam Lanza shooting up there as far as with Sandy Hook, where this lone shooter goes into another building, loaded up for bear, had to have at least 15 plus 30 round magazines on him, shoots up a place with pristine accuracy, kills, you know, and all of a sudden it's like, oh yeah, well, he just did this, he did that. The guy that supposedly the Pulse shooting was some Muslim guy that went out and bought a Bushmaster AR-15 or whatever brand it was and decided to go up there and do that. So the whole narrative never made sense to me. And yes, Dad, you're right. I've never seen a full breakdown of what exactly happened, a true narrative of what exactly happened. I've only seen the mainstream spin on every single one. So, yeah, sorry, you can go back to what you're saying.
Remember that one movie? What was it? It was an Arnold Schwarzkopf movie. One of the better ones he did. It was about a guy.
Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Yeah. Arnold Schwarzenegger. I know Schwartz. I messed up. General Norman Schwarzkopf. He was a friend of mine. May he rest in peace. And Arnold Schwarzenegger. I do not know him, but I don't think he would be a friend if I did know him. But what was interesting to me is that one movie he did. You remember it was with that guy who was on The Godfather, and he was basically a secret agent, and he ended up basically staging people to get killed and all that kind of stuff. And then he basically had a particle beam weapon they were using, all that kind of stuff. So you guys already know what it is.
Oh, Eraser.
That's it. I knew you know. So he comes into this thing, and he basically, these guys come to kill this guy. And so he throws him down on the ground, and he covers him up in blood, takes a bunch of pictures of him laying there dead. And then they take a bunch of dead bodies. Remember this? Dead body. And they throw it in the house. And they pour gasoline all over it. Then they burn down the entire house around it. And hence, we have a false flag murder, suicide, killing, whatever it was. And then the guy's put into protective custody. We don't know how many dead bodies were in the movie theater in Colorado. We have no idea. We weren't there. We don't know how many dead bodies, if any, were at any of these places, because we don't really know what's going on with any of these places. I mean, we know that whole thing that happened up there in Columbine, you know, that was crazy, and the stuff that happened over there, what was it, the Sandy Hook? I mean, Sandy Hook, guys, I mean, there's so many holes in that story. That's like you could drive freight trains to that whole mess. So we've got an issue here that we don't know what's real and what's not real anymore because of staging. You can have somebody walk into a crowd, unload completely empty magazines as far as, you know, blanks, just have a bunch of people falling down who are staged actors around the other people. Everybody runs out. We got all these people laying there that aren't even hurt, you know, screaming and yelling like they've been bloodied. You know, and all of a sudden, everybody thinks 40 people got shot. Now, here's the thing about this. Or none of it could have happened. They could have just had a whole stage thing going on altogether. But the reality is this. Because of Hollywood and because of the ability to edit film and sound and everything else now, and because these Rothschild baby boys who like to drink blood and other weird things, they own the media. Because of this, they can pretty much spin any story they want to spin it, whenever they want to spin it, however they want to spin it, and they expect you and me to believe it because we weren't there. See, that's the problem. Remember a couple of years ago, we had all that mess going on in Germany, and I flew over there. I mean, I flew over there and went all over Germany, and some of the stuff they said was true, a lot of it wasn't true, including the border crossings. They were closed up, though, going in from Hungary into Germany, from Hungary into Germany. And so, you know, actually from Austria through, I think it was Czechoslovakia into Germany. And so we basically saw all of those things personally, and I reported on them live. I was like the reporter on the scene, and I talked about all the other things that are going on over there. And it was a mess, and it still is a mess, because I was there, I saw it. So unless you have somebody there, they can spin and make it sound like anything happened, whether it did or not. Let me give you another, here's another story. I mentioned this to you the other day. I did not have the article. I pulled it up. Here's what it's article. This says, the Pentagon buys cheap fuel, resells it to its own forces, uses the profit for operations it wants to hide. This is part of that huge budget deficit they have in that $10 trillion they've lost, $9 trillion. The Washington Post reports that the Pentagon is recycling a scam from World War II, whereby it buys fuel and then resells it to its own armed forces at a much higher price and uses the profits as a slush fund for questionable purposes. This has been going on since the World War II. The Pentagon has reportedly excessively charged its own armed forces for fuel and used the surplus generated to fund Syrian rebels, among other ventures. This was when they were paying $200 a gallon for jet fuel in the Gulf War in 2003. And we sat there and watched all of this mess thinking that it was all true, and none of it was true, Austin. It was a joke. And the sad part about it is billions and trillions of dollars have gone missing now. They don't spend $1,000 for a hammer. They don't do that. And even doing all this and doing all this creative accounting, Austin, they still can't account for $9 trillion. I mean, it's almost like you got the inmates running the asylum over there. They're like, well, we can't account for this trillion. Oh, we'll just pretend like it's not there. Pretend like it didn't happen. Well, did it happen? Well, we're going to pretend like it didn't happen. And you know, and then, so then all of a sudden it shows up later, and the American people go, yawn. We don't care. We want to go watch Kim Kardashian with her large derriere running around, and basically that's more important to us. That's how this thing is done, man. We have been completely brainwashed through this boob tube thing that we watch, guys. So we got to turn that TV set off. What's your next story, Austin? Oh, yeah.
Well, and it touched base on it. It's funny you're talking about movies, too, because they put so much in different movies. I watched a movie, The Rock, the other day with Sean Connery and Nicolas Cage, where they had the that VX nerve gas that they were going to use. And the Lord, General Hummel, the one that, like, took all this stuff, man, he's on the phone with them. And he says, I want you guys basically to transfer over $50 million out of like the PMAC account out of the Cayman Islands. And one of the guys goes, dude, this is classified. What are you talking about? And he goes, why don't you explain to him? He goes, well, it's basically one of our slush funds that we keep from illegal arms trafficking over to the Middle East and into Africa. So whenever we have extra money from all these different illegal arms sales, it goes in a slush fund down in the Caymans. That's the account that he's talking about. That's the money that he wants to wire money out of. And the sad part is this stuff is true. That's not just Hollywood making it up. But to touch base on what you said something really interesting, Dad, and this would actually been a very, very easy, effective way to stage something like the Pulse. And I'm not saying it was staged. I don't know. I wasn't there when it happened, so I can't tell you 100%. But you think about it. They did the shooting. It was at like it began at like 2:15, 2:30 on a Saturday night. So it's well into the morning. It's a bar, so everybody's liquored up, incoherent, not really paying attention to a lot of stuff. Exactly what you just said. They could have had anybody that they wanted to come into the building with any type of M4, whatever weapon they wanted to, as far as firing blanks. I mean, those guns are easy to acquire, actually. I mean, especially for Hollywood purposes. And they look real. They sound real. They're unbelievably loud. They feed and cycle just like regular machine guns. Have 15, 20, 30 stage actors that go into the club in the middle of the night, and you tell them, hey, listen, we're doing a movie tonight. This is basically an off-the-cuff, like, POV shooting where it's going to be real raw, you know, something like a real, like, homemade film. Nobody's going to know about it, though. It's supposed to look real. when we go in here, this guy's going to come in around 2:30. He's going to start unloading magazines everywhere. It's going to be extremely loud. As soon as you start hearing any type of gunfire your way, basically lay out on the floor, do whatever you have to do, use Hollywood blood, fall out and act like you're dead. Well, if you do that with 20, 30, 40, 50 individuals, and there's the rest of the individuals go in there and run out the door, you just staged the whole incident. But then you had a lot of people that they said went to the hospital. But the problem was, when I kept doing the research on everything, I could never figure out what was the actual truth as far as them medevacing people out of there, because I looked at aerial shots, and they were trying to say there was like 100 people that were severely injured. The amount of triage you would have to do in the parking lot, especially getting helicopters in there and ambulances for transfers for over 100 severely injured gunshot patients, would be enormous. I mean, enormous. I mean, you're literally talking dozens and dozens of ambulances. The entire Metropolitan Orlando Hospital, every single hospital in the local vicinity would be bringing hospitals in along with helicopters bringing it in. I never saw any photos like that whatsoever, even from people that were on the sidewalk. Like, there were photos that got released from people in neighborhoods that were taking photos. Dad remembers this. There was like one person getting drug off by somebody with blood on their knee, another person going on a stretcher. And I'm going, we've had 50 casualties and 100 severely injured from gunshot wounds. I'm not seeing triage. I'm not seeing 40, 50, 60 people out in the parking lot doing full, medic triage. I'm not seeing helicopters in and out, in and out, in and out, 20, 30 ambulances coming in. I never saw any of that. So that's what made the whole story really strange, is they want to deem it as the most violent, most deadliest shooting, terrorist shooting in history of the country, except none of it made any sense. And that's the whole thing that it brought me back to when I started talking about the death count and the injured count. When you're dealing with that many people, especially with that caliber of a round, you talk to anybody in the service, anybody that's operated that firearm, even in a hunting standpoint, 5.56 or 223 caliber is a very small round. It's like 55 grain to 62 grain round. It's small. You generally need at least 2 to 3 rounds in a good shot placement to drop somebody with it. Now, you may injure them, you may bleed out, got that, but 50 dead with that caliber, and that's why I brought the fact up that you're talking about, on average, at least 150 to 200 rounds to actually kill that many people on scene with that caliber, unless you're an unbelievably accurate precision SEAL or somebody on that lines, which not that I've ever saw with this guy, and not to mention, you're operating this gun indoors at night with strobe lights and smoke in a bar in a closed confinement. Even if you're wearing earplugs and partial eye protection, the concussion blast, the muzzle smoke, the heat, everything that's going to be along this, dude, you're not going to have that type of precision shooting with people running each way. You're going to get a lot of hits. You're going to get a lot of body hits. You may get a lot of injured people. But trying to say that you killed 50 people with one guy with an AR-15 in a nightclub at 2:30 in the morning absolutely made no logical sense to me whatsoever when you start putting the pieces to this together. So that was kind of my take on it, and so that's why I want to bring it up today, because it was a year ago we talked about it on the show when it happened, exactly a year ago. Now they're trying to have this big memorial thing over there for it. If that many people died, like I said, we prayed for them when it happened. It was a horrible situation, but to me, from looking at it from the outside in and from just a logical standpoint and use deductive reasoning, it made no sense at all to me, Deb.
Me neither, buddy. Here's another story. This is interesting. It's on McDonald's. I don't usually do stores on McDonald's, but they've proven now that they're not prejudiced. They've proven now who they are. They've proven now that they're equally willing to kill everybody with their food. God, I'm not kidding you guys. That's some bad stuff, boys. It's bad. So McDonald's now is introducing a rainbow-themed fries in support of gay pride. So they're willing to kill gays too, I guess. McDonald's restaurants on both coasts are serving up the restaurant's chain's famous French fries, sporting a rainbow-themed box in celebration of homosexual pride events. The gay-themed fries are being served between June the 9th and June the 11th. It's three specific Washington, D.C. areas. I believe that. Boy, that's a place that's a gay hub, including the Capitol, Pride Alliance, Washington, D.C. The rainbow box fries are a fun way to show our support of the LGBTQ community, using one of McDonald's most iconic and recognizable items, said Kathy Martin, a spokesperson for the fast food giant. However, these fry boxes are small potatoes in the grand scheme of our commitment to this community. So congratulations, McDonald's. You are absolutely not prejudiced. I want you to go ahead and comment on this if you'd like, Austin, or we probably need to change subjects before we get in trouble.
I don't know. I'm going to pass on that one, man.
What's the next story?
McDonald's, I don't like McDonald's. I don't support their food. They got crap food. Don't eat it. It's like grade D dog meat. They use pink slime for their chicken nuggets. I don't support McDonald's at all, so we'll leave it at that. Anyways, from a story that I talked about months ago, how Facebook actually capitulated with Pakistan and bringing in a Facebook, essentially, team to monitor comments. As you know, they're monitoring everything on Facebook. They always have. Now they're turning people in. Well, the team that worked with Facebook and now the Pakistani government and their counterterrorism court, that's what they call it now, that it goes to, have just handed down the first death penalty for blaspheming on social media on Sunday, yesterday. Individual named Timur Raza, 30 years old, was arrested after debate about Islam on Facebook with a man who turned out to be a counter-terrorism agent. He was one among 15 people arrested by the department last year accused of blasphemy. They consider blasphemy a highly sensitive topic, and Muslim-majority Pakistan were insulting Muhammad as a capital crime. They said the anti-terrorism court of Bakhlafur have awarded him the death sentence. It is the first ever death sentence in a case that involves social media. Authorities have asked Twitter and Facebook, who have both complied, to help identify users sharing blasphemous material or have distributed text messages, encouraging Pakistanis as well to report fellow citizens and turn them in for any blasphemous speech. This, my friends, is Sharia law. This is the root of the Muslim religion when it comes down to it. Every single country and every single population that gets large enough with a large enough Muslim populace always goes to Sharia law. I have not seen any country in the world with a large Muslim population not go to Sharia law at some point. I've researched it. It doesn't happen. It always goes that way. Now, if you speak blasphemous material on Islam, whether you're a Christian, Jew, Muslim, whatever, on social media, Pakistani government now considers you to basically be nothing more than a death warrant. They assume kill you as to look at you. This is the religion of peace at it again with their unbelievably sadistic behavior. This is why I've told people, do not support, do not comply, do not allow the Muslim religion to enter your family, your life, whatsoever. This is not something I agree with. And people say, well, not all Muslims are like that. You're absolutely right. Not all Muslims are like that. But when you start seeing Sharia law say, we're going to kill you if you talk about Muhammad on Facebook, that is a whole nother level of depravity, guys. These people over here are about as barbaric as it gets. I don't know if anybody's reminded them, but we're not in like the second century anymore. This isn't 200 AD. This isn't normal behavior to kill people just because you don't agree what they say about your dead prophet. Muhammad's dead. The only person that has ever arisen from the dead, the true one and only Jesus Christ, sits beside Yahweh up in heaven. That's it. All these other prophets, they're dead. Muhammad's dead. I hate to break it to all of them. He's gone. He's not coming back. So killing people for blaspheming him is one of the most idiotic approaches to life expectancy I've ever seen before. So, yeah, Dad, that's exactly where these guys have gone now. You talk about Muhammad on Facebook, they kill you. It doesn't get any more egregious than that.
I saw a quote from Putin. Now, whether this is a true quote or not, I don't know because I wasn't there when it took place. But the Saudi king actually visited Putin in Moscow. But before leaving, he told Putin he would like to buy a large parcel of land in Moscow, raise money from the Arabs, and build a huge, large mosque in the Russian capital. It's not a problem, said Putin, but with one condition. You authorize the construction of a large Orthodox church in the capital of Saudi Arabia. It cannot be, replied the king. Why, said Putin? Because your religion is not true and we cannot allow our people to be deceived, replied the king. I think the same about your religion, replied Putin. Let's drop the subject. Guys, whether Putin said this or not, if any leader were to say this to a Muslim, my hands would be bravo. I mean, guys, Saddam Hussein had a huge group of Christians in his country. They were pretty, they've all been pretty much wiped out in Iraq. Assad had a huge group of Christians in his country. They've pretty much all been wiped out. I mean, are you kidding me? No. We've taken a lot of the, Libya, Gaddafi had a huge group of Christians in his country. They've pretty much been wiped out. Whenever the despot or the tyrannical ruler that our CIA installs or whatever, you know, gets to the point where he's actually doing things that they don't want him to do, even if it's having Christians that are being okay and being treated fairly in their countries, these people are no longer afforded protection under Sharia law when they're basically blasphemers. And it's no good when they do that. And Chinese right now is really cracking down on Christian churches because of what they're doing over there. And so we have to understand something, guys. We live in a country that was founded by the Pilgrims. Okay? They founded this place for religious freedom to escape the persecution from the Church of England. They came over here because they'd had enough. They didn't want to deal with this mess anymore in Europe. So they came over here to worship God the way they wanted to worship God and not be forced by the state to do whatever the state wanted. See, they were willing to leave their countries and go across the ocean and settle a brand new continent. I mean, these guys had to be some pretty tough alpha males to do all of this stuff. I mean, they had to be some macho guys. Remember that first year, you know, about half of the guys died. I mean, it was pretty rough over here because they landed too far north.
Yeah.
And they basically froze to death and didn't have enough food. But the whole thing is this, guys, this is how our country was founded. We take for granted that we can do a podcast like this. Not Austin and I, but people who do podcasts and people who don't pay any attention to podcasts. They don't understand that we have the ability in this country right now because of our First Amendment, because of our Second Amendment, to defend ourselves and have freedom of speech. Many parts of the world aren't like this. You go try to proselytize a Jewish person in Israel. You try to convert people to Judaism on the street. They will lock you up, beat you half to death, and throw you in jail. You say, well, they wouldn't do that. Why don't you do some research on that and see how that works out? I mean, this is what they do in Israel. This is what they do in most of the Arab countries because these religions are very exclusive. They don't want somebody coming in and proselytizing, trying to convert other people from their religions. And with the Muslims, they're so strong about it. Now that they're in Pakistan, they're willing to give people death sentences because they said something bad about the Prophet Muhammad. When did the Islam start? 700-800 AD. And what ended up happening is he's been dead now for over 1,000 years. And you know, he didn't, the whole thing, the Bible, their Quran never says he got raised from the dead. And see, guys, here's the thing. We've got to understand something. You know how blessed we are that God Almighty, I had a friend of mine that I know from Switzerland. He visited me on Saturday and he's not a Christian, and he came by the house for a few minutes, and I talked to him, and I really witnessed to him for about 2 hours, actually about 4 hours. And finally he goes, I can't believe I've been here for 4 hours. And I looked at him, and I said, do you realize what God has done for us, what Yahweh has done? I said, he is the creator of the universe, the creator. I mean, he made everything. And he loved us so much that he gave us his son to bring us back to redemption through his son to him. As basically a scapegoat offering, as a living offering, a blood sacrifice according to the Old Testament. And what's interesting about this, he knew how he was going to have to die to do this, but he loved us that much. And I said, on top of everything else, it's like that old movie that you had with Clint Eastwood, the outlaw Josie Wales, and at the end, he's got that old chief there, and the chief cuts his hand, and Clint Eastwood clutches his hand, they put their hands together, and their blood co-mingles, and they become a blood brother. They create a blood covenant. That's what we have in Christ. And what that means is everything that belonged to the chief in that movie belonged to Clint Eastwood. And everything that belonged to Clint Eastwood belonged to the chief. Everything was entangled. It was all together now. It was one. That's what God's done for us. He's given us the ability through prayer, through the Son, through Christ, through Yahweh, through Yeshua. He's given us the ability to be in covenant with Him, blood covenant, to allow us to be co-heirs of the universe? I mean, think about what I just said. I mean, this is kind of crazy that he did this for us. That's how much he loves us children. So you remember in the Garden of Eden when God loved us, he wanted to have children in his own image. So, you know, he already made the angels. And who knows how many other things he already made. But he wanted to have something that was his DNA, his genetic template. He wanted to have children who had a step-up transformer coil, we call it DNA, the same as his, that would be in frequency and communication with him all the days of their life, linked to him through their creation. And Lucifer was told at that point, hey, I'm going to have a bunch of kids, But you got to realize these are my children, and you got to bow down and worship my children. Well, Lucifer wanted no part of that. He goes, I'm not going to do that. You know, it's, you know, I'm like a co-creator with you. That's what Lucifer thought he was. And God says, no, we're not going to do that. You're going to have to be, you have to answer to this to my children. And then they decided to go in. Fallen angels showed up. They corrupted the human race. And then they decided to destroy his children. They decided to have children of their own. So here's the deal. Not only do they hate you, which you've got to get that through your head because of what God did, they want to be you. Gosh.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing that people, you've got to understand this. So if they can't be you, and because they hate you, they're willing to do all of these crazy things like chemtrails and drugs and all of these nutty things to destroy you just to hurt God. See, that's the whole thing here. That's why they're doing everything they can to raise that serpent thing out of the ditch where it got thrown into, according to the book of Enoch, to basically bring him back in to make him ruler and reigner of the planet. These guys are nutbags. They call themselves the Benigni Nephilim, sons of the fallen, and they're willing to die for what they believe. So guys, thank God every day that you're in covenant with him and that through Yeshua that we've been redeemed. Awesome. What's your next story?
No, absolutely. Well, this is also wild, too, out in Australia now. A $44 million straight-run initiative called Doctors in Schools has been rolled out in the state of Victoria, Australia. The program promises to fund general practitioners to attend at least 100 Victorian government schools up to one day a week to provide medical advice and health care to those students in need. While the concept of providing free medical care for in-need teens sounds great on the surface, it's being met with a ton of controversy for obvious reasons. Many see this as a way for the state to line the pockets of big pharma and government officials with ties to drug companies. These connections run all the way to the top, with The Mind Unleashed reporting that Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull and his wife are connected to some of the biggest big pharma corporations. For example, while the Prime Minister has pushed for government-mandated vaccinations that I've talked about numerous times, his wife, the Prime Minister's wife, serves as the chair of the pharmaceutical corporation Prima Biomed. Of course it does. Now, the wording of the program is also great concern to many parents, since it mandates that even if a parent expressly states in writing that they do not want their child to receive medical treatment from these doctors, the GP can go ahead and do so as long as he or she deems the child to be mature enough. The program also promises to provide primary full health care to these kids, but never clarifies what this health care actually consists of. Most likely, these teens will have the HPV vaccine pressed on them, especially since they're going to promote the contraceptive pills as well they've already talked about. But also, too, nobody's bringing up the fact of antidepressants, psychotropic drugs, vaccinations. None of that stuff is worded in there as far as it's an open, basically an open checkbook to whatever these doctors want to do and push on these kids. This seems to be a very growing trend in Australia lately that I've seen of really, really trying to completely dissolve the rights of the parents with their children and promote this pharmaceutical vaccination culture on the younger population. Same thing's going on in Italy. Same thing's going on in Germany, as I talked about a couple weeks ago, where if you don't vaccinate your kids, they're going to start fining you thousands of euros a year. Also in Australia, I talked about already, their child fund that they use. Like, apparently if you have a kid and all these different things you can apply for benefits, they're going to start cutting your benefits if you don't have full vaccinations with the kids as well. This is how they're going to start doing all of it, because as I told you guys before, they have to make you a willing party to it. They can't just tie you down with a gurney and start injecting you full of vaccinations, in my opinion. They know how toxic a lot of this stuff is and how detrimental it is to your brain. They have to have you submit to them and say, okay, I'm going to cave in. You can go ahead and give me a shot, or you can give my child or daughter a shot. That's where a lot of this is going. Now they know if you want to put them in these schools, you're going to start having basically health care provided them for free. Hoorah, hoorah, as we know how awesome free health care always works out for everybody. But this is definitely something that is a growing trend all around the world, Dad. It's kind of sad.
No, it is kind of sad. You know, I'm 61. You know, I mean, I like the way my brain works. It still works really well. And I don't want to put stuff in there that's a neurological toxin that's going to not let my brain work anymore. I mean, I like having a really razor sharp memory. I like having really good retention when I read. I don't want to dumb my brain down. I mean, why would I do that on purpose? I mean, think about this for a second. Let me ask you guys this question. If you knew something was going to dumb you down and it would destroy your memory, destroy your sex drive, make you gain body fat, make you get sick as a dog, make you have all kinds of autoimmune disorders, and you knew it, and you thought, nah, I'm just going to try, see what happens. No, it's not okay. See, that's the thing. In fact, Friday night, I'm going to do a show with Hagman. You guys are going to love this one. It's going to be on why prayer heals people, why prayer doesn't heal some people, what are we doing wrong in prayer, why is this happening? That's the show Friday night. Because if you've got people that you've prayed for and they haven't been healed, or they've prayed for themselves and they haven't been healed, we're going to discuss this in depth on the second hour on the Hagman Show on Friday night. And then Austin's also going to be doing a segment on there too with me this week. I've asked him to do that. They've asked him to do that. So that's going to be kind of fun. And tomorrow, listen to this, guys. I finally got Alexander Bruce to come on the show. Alexander Bruce is a born-again Christian. And back about 15, 16 years ago, she took 2 years out of her life to write a full book, the expose on the USS Eldridge. Now, for you guys who don't know what that is, that's basically that ship they had back in World War II that they made disappear with radar wave signatures. They were supposed to cloak it to prevent it from being seen by radar, and they turned this generating system in on it. It was all Tesla technology, and the ship disappeared for real. This is not a joke. It really happened. And I had all kinds of horrible consequences for the crew on board. And the lady who wrote the definitive book on this is our guest tomorrow from 3:15 to 3:45. I mean, you guys are going to have to, you don't want to miss this book. This is going to be one of those stories. And she's a born-again Christian on top of everything else. Oh, by the way, the FDA has declared a painkiller dangerous, and they have pulled it off the market. Imagine that. It's, of course, an opioid. And it says, the opioid controversy isn't a shy one. The state of Ohio just sued 5 major pharmaceutical corporations for what they are calling a massive and widespread painkiller addiction. Opioids are ruining lives, all the while pharma is promoting them as if the potential for these issues don't exist. They also are encouraging doctors to prescribe them beyond the needed reasons, which, by the way, is the key to success for the pharmaceutical corporation. This article was written by, I want to give the guy's name out. Nah, that's nice. It's not on here. I always love when they don't put the name of the author on here. It's always special. And so it goes on to say the FDA said Thursday that one painkiller, get this, Opana ER, which is extended release, which is an extended release drug of the drug oxymorphone, is being too abused by people. Addicts are crushing it and injecting it in the place of heroin, so the FDA wants it gone. Now, do you hear what I just said? Today, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration requested that Endo Pharmaceuticals remove its opioid painkiller reformulate Opana ER from the market. After careful consideration, the agency seeking its removal based on its concern that the benefits of the drug may no longer outweigh its risks. This is the first time the agency has taken steps to remove a currently marketed opioid medication from sale due to the public health consequences of abuse. Okay, how many levels of just nonsense do I want to talk about here on this? It's being used as a substitute for heroin. Oh my gosh, it's cutting into the heroin market. Oh my gosh, it's too readily available. Oh my gosh, it's not expensive enough. Oh my gosh, people are using it instead of heroin, and their sales of heroin are going down. Oh my gosh, here's what's happening. Guys, it nauseates me that drugs like this are even on the market. I mean, OxyContin is just as bad with their sustained release, but this one people like to inject into their veins. So, guys, this is complete and total nonsense. The FDA, again, the Food and Drug Administration, or the Federal Death Administration, or the Forever Dying Administration, whatever you want to call them, these guys are awful. And now we've got Gottlieb coming in on top of everything else. We have to deal with this guy, this clown, this vaccine pusher. So what's crazy about all of this is, guys, always look behind the scenes on who's going to benefit on a drug that's being used as a substitute for heroin, guys. Interesting story. What do you think, Oz?
That's the first thing I thought of when you said that. Oh, they're using it as a substitute for heroin. I'm like, okay, what do you think every other opiate really on the market is? No, that's exactly what they're doing with that. They're looking at it and saying, oh, well, the areas that this product is prescribed the most in, heroin sales are starting to drop now on the black market. If they actually, you know, coincide those two numbers together, I'm sure that's a lot harder to market, you know, as far as figure out numbers. But you're exactly right. This whole thing with the pharmaceutical is a racket, because no matter what, they always win in the end. That's why I told you guys before. They don't want to have anybody. That's why they schedule one all this stuff. I mean, they schedule one everything. I'm not saying heroin needs to be not scheduled one, but I'm saying they do, especially with stuff like pot, and they've tried to do it with kratom. They've tried to do it with multiple things, to where if they can't control the market on it with a pharmaceutical, they just play the trump card. Oh, scheduled one, felony to possess in any form. That's felony now. Can't have it. You can only buy it pharmaceutically. Look at Adderall. They prescribe Adderall like it's candy, giving it out to a little kid. They'll give anybody Adderall. You can go in any doctor's office right now and say, I can't focus. I really have a hard time reading. I think I have ADD. You tell them, you list them off at least three symptoms of ADD. The doctor goes, okay, let's go ahead and put you on Adderall or whatever one you really request. A lot of times you can say that. Be like, yeah, I've heard this one works good. My friend's on it. I want to try this one. Script, done, boom. 30 milligram extended release controlled Adderalls, right? Pharmaceutical, right from, you know, Walgreens, wherever you pick it up. Or amphetamine salts, almost chemically identical to cocaine. Doesn't matter. As long as they control the market on it, okay, we got this market, we're going to control it. You want to buy cocaine, then that's scheduled one. If you want amphetamines, you got to get them through us. That's exactly what they're doing with this, and they control the market on both sides. It's really, really sad, though, that so many people get caught in the crosshairs and get involved and addicted to a lot of these compounds. Because some of this stuff really, really ruins people's lives. It really does. And it's sad, because that's the ultimate goal of this, the total goal of it, with the pharmaceuticals and the illicit drugs, with the globalists, is to control and get these people hooked on drugs so that they're much easier to keep as a population under control when somebody's addicted to something. Because that way, if you can control their supply of drugs, you can control their addiction. If you can control their addiction, you can control pretty much every aspect of their life and get them to comply with anything. Also, too.
Oh, and hang on. I want to add one thing to that.
Yeah,
By the way, we're in different locations. I mean, Austin's like 4 miles away from me, so sometimes I have to interrupt him. He interrupts me because I got to add a comment. Remember a couple of last week when you talked about how they're using certain drugs and they're manufacturing those drugs and they're being sold on the street and they're all black market drugs?
Oh, yeah.
This one they're pulling off the market could have been a black market drug. They could have been producing
that's
that thing.
Too.
They could have been producing by the billions of pills, sending them all over the planet, saying, hey, you can crush this up and use it heroin. It's pharmaceutical. It's safe. And the guys are going, hey, this isn't any good, man. This is cutting into our heroin market, guys. Think through that one, too. What's your next story, Austin? Sorry.
No, you're absolutely right on that. I mean, that's if you guys missed the show last couple weeks ago, what they've talked about now, and I've heard this from a few different sources, is a lot of these drugs, because the doctor's offices, the prescriptions, all this stuff now has gotten much, much more controlled because of the significant epidemic that we've seen, which is contracted, which is causing the epidemic to still stay as large because it hasn't gone anywhere. There's control in the supply. What they've started doing now is in Belgium and in India, they produce basically underground. They have underground lab pharmacies. I mean, that's common knowledge with a lot of different things. So they can produce these drugs from the same heroin that comes right out of Afghanistan. And so they'll make a 80 milligram OxyContin, so to speak, or an oxycodone, but it's a generic form. And they press it in this underground lab. It looks the same, acts the same, responds the same, sells the same as the same pharmaceutical one from Pfizer or another company, except this way they can keep it all off the books, and then they can ship in another 500,000 pills at a time in the United States, dump it on the market, hit the black market with it, it explodes back on the market, and then everybody goes, we don't know why the epidemic keeps being fueled. We don't know how everybody's getting these pills, like they're trying to say right now. We need to restrict it more. We need to restrict the doctors more. Guys, if you're bringing in the drugs under the radar from generic pharmaceutical underground labs and you're still dumping them on the market, it's never going to go away. You have to understand, the globalists do not want to stop the epidemic. They want to grow it. Everything you see on the media, media, everything you see in the news, everything you hear on the television is a complete and total lie about the drug problem. Complete and total lie. All the way from the DEA and then busting people so they can sit there and say, we did a drug bust. They have to have drug busts because if some of these drug dealers don't comply, they have to put them back in line. And on top of that, they need X amount of individuals for the prison industrial complex quota every single month to keep that industry going. I talked to a friend of mine a while back ago that knew a lot of people in a sheriff's department who was out of state. I think it was up in Georgia, actually. And it was a smaller county. And I asked him, because I saw a lot of areas up there, and he knew a lot of people that basically were working in underground drug stuff, and I didn't know much about it, so I just kind of asked him about it. He said, well, here's what happens. He goes, every so often, the reason why some of these guys go to jail all the time and some of these guys don't go to jail, if they need to have some type of contribution, they're notified, and they'll go in and they'll drop 40, 50, 60 grand off at a designated point, and it gets picked up by basically a sheriff's officer that's working undercover, and it gets distributed into, you know, the general fund as an asset forfeiture. Off the books, got seized, don't even have any significant paperwork with it. He goes, and then they don't get busted. They continue to sling their dope, they continue to make money, and they continue to do business. He goes, then you have the ones that run out of cash or they don't want to play ball. And he goes, then all of a sudden they get a 2 a.m. raid by the, you know, by the local sheriff's department, clean the house out, arrest everybody inside, everybody goes to jail, and everybody goes in as an example to show everybody exactly how this works. I personally talked to people. He told me his exact stuff. He wasn't making it up. He had no reason to lie about it. This is how the drug war continues to grow. They allow the problem to start, they feed the problem to make it more, and then they keep the law enforcement feeding the problem, protecting it, or making the individuals that don't play ball with them go to jail to feed the prison industrial complex. It's very, very simple. That's why I've said for so long, I'm not an advocate of recreational pot usage whatsoever. I do think it does have some very, very good medicinal purposes, especially with the CBD oil, but classifying a plant that can grow in your backyard as a scheduled one drug that you go to prison for having even a very small amount makes no logical sense to me whatsoever, except to feed the prison industrial complex. A lot of advocates that are pro or that are anti-cannabis say, well, if you legalized it, it would hit on the market more. It's not going to hit on the market any more than it would if it's black market. It's a plant. It can grow in people's backyard. There's grow houses all over the country. Just like if you regulated, if you were 21 to buy cannabis, you're 21 to buy alcohol. If they made alcohol illegal, look how that worked in Prohibition. People just distilled it in their house. The same thing we see with cannabis. They made it illegal, so people just grow it on the black market. And instead of actually having it overlooked by the USDA or Organic Growers Society and producing good, clean stuff, you have people putting all kinds of chemicals, pesticides, Miracle-Gro, garbage on it that can be even more harmful than the cannabis itself. So instead of feeding the prison industrial complex, arresting people for having a plant in their possession, make it 21 to be able to purchase and be done with it. That's my take on it, Dad. I know you disagree with me a lot on that, but I'm absolutely sick of hearing and reading about people doing multiple year sentences for having a plant in their possession when I see the pharmaceutical industry continue to grow over hundreds and hundreds of billion dollars a year simply because they have a patent on THC and they can sell it under their drug name, but if you have a plant that grows in your backyard, you go to prison.
Well, now I'm not 100% disagreeing with you, Austin. Here's what I say. I think that it should be made so it's not a felony and it's not a criminal charge. Yeah. I think it should be a ticket. Like you got caught with a joint, here's $1,000 ticket. 20 hours of community service and you have to work at a drug house. That's what I think they need to do with it. I mean, but absolutely no jail time. No jail time. And basically, if they don't want to pay the bill, then you can lock them up for a bit and just let them stay in the county for a few weeks or just work it off. Work off the $1,000 fine on the side of the road slinging grass. I mean, that's okay too. But make it so it's not a criminal offense where you end up with a record with it. I mean, that's the problem with all of this is the fact that you destroy people's lives. They lose their driver's licenses. They lose their jobs. they become a convicted felon, and they can never get a decent job. And all of these things happen to these people because of a joint. I mean, that's stupid. I mean, I've listened to judges online and deputies online which say, I wish we never would have had this law because we have put so many people in prison who got caught with a joint. And see, to me, that's the joke. I don't think that's fair at all. I think that needs to be rescinded. But again, like you said just a minute ago, Austin, it feeds the prison industrial complex and they get free slave labor out of it. So make it a fine. And now here's the other thing too. I also believe that parents need to be made aware of how dangerous this is for young children as far as brain development. And I've talked about that repeatedly. Yeah. Now, when a child gets to be 24, 25 years old and they're a young adult and they've actually reached the age of concrete rational thought, if they ever make it to there, which only a few people ever do, at that point, if they wanted to smoke pot, you could actually lower the fines back down and say, okay, it's going to be $100 every time we catch you smoking the pot, whatever, or we're going to do whatever. But, you know, it can't be this going to prison, going to jail, and serving hard time for marijuana, guys. I'm sorry, I don't agree with that at all, but it can't be one of these things that, you know, we basically promote. So the problem with all is the fact is this. Back when they did the prohibition on alcohol, people still drank, like you said, Austin. People are still going to smoke pot. It's a plant. But the problem we're going to have now is Monsanto is going to come in. Let me tell you what's going to happen. Or one of these other big ag companies is going to come in, and they're going to start growing specific types of marijuana, the best marijuana, the best, you know, whatever type of marijuana, and they're going to cannibalize the market, take the market away again, and they're going to promote a big drug culture. That's where this is going. I don't like that. By the way, the first new coal mine of Trump's era opens in Pennsylvania. President Trump lauded the opening of the nation's first new coal mine in recent memory. Corsa Coal Company will operate the mine in Somerset County, Pennsylvania, outside of Pittsburgh. Corsa CEO Jeff Dethelfinson said the mine will be a boom to the struggling local economy. He praised Trump's easing of regulations for fossil fuel exploration. He told that for the 70 positions that they had available at the mine, 400 people had already applied. One miner said it's a hard day's work, but it's worth every penny of it. Then he goes on to say it contrasts with Hillary's message that she would put a lot of coal miners out of work. Now, how do I feel about coal? Here's how I feel about coal and alternative fuel energy and all the other things that are out there. We have thousands of years of coal in the United States available to meet all of our energy needs. We have the ability to take coal and turn it into diesel fuel and basically make it run cars and generators and electrical plants and everything else for thousands of years, long before we'll ever be gone. With the new clean fuel technology they have in these scrubbers and these stacks and the abilities of these coal mines to produce really clean energy as far as the ability to make coal a certain way when they mine it out and the power plants to burn it cleanly, it's complete nonsense that we're not using one of the most readily available resources that we have. Now, should we go to more solar? Yes, Tesla's coming out with great solar panels. It's going to be roof shingles. We talked about that. Should we go with windmills? I don't like windmills because they're ugly, they're hideous, and they really have a lot of maintenance, and they can blow up and explode, and they kill birds and all that kind of stuff. But the shingles on the roofs, we can turn roads into photoelectric current. Also, we can put stuff down inside of the roads, make them so they're producing electricity. There's all kinds of things that we can do to produce more power without having to burn more fuel. But coal is a really good source until we make that transition to keep us energy independent from all of these other nations. But this is one of the reasons, Austin, because you can make diesel out of coal pretty easily. Germans were doing that back in the 20s and the 30s. You can actually, the reality is this. That's one of the reasons they hate diesel motors and they're trying to shut them all down. Because guys, if they get rid of diesel fuel, diesel motors, then coal is not going to be nearly as effective as producing diesel fuel. So that's my take on coal. There are cleaner sources of energy, but it's an energy that's out there, that's available, that can keep us from being dependent on foreign oil sources for a long, long time. And oh, by the way, the shale oil we have in this country is much bigger than Saudi Arabia ever thought about having. And we can keep that going also. So there's all kinds of things that we can do as a country to avoid being dependent on OPEC, which, by the way, is pretty much a lie anyhow. We have plenty of oil here that have been capped that we could continue to produce. But, you know, the government doesn't want to do that because of the petrodollar and Saudi Arabia and all the mess that they've done with those guys back in the 70s. Guys, I want to thank you for listening to the show. I hope you had a blessed weekend. Hope you had a good time with the show today. We covered a lot of different topics. I want to pray that God blesses you and he keeps you, that lets his face shine upon you, that he's merciful on you, that he gives you peace, grace, mercy. And I pray that he gives you prosperity, guys. I love you guys. Thank you so much for listening every day. Thank you for supporting Health Masters. Thank you for praying for us. Thank you for getting your multiple vitamins from us. Thank you for being here. I mean, if it wasn't for you guys, we wouldn't be here, you know, and so many of you have taken up that challenge. You're going, I'm not going to buy a vitamin from Walgreens or Costco or Walmart or Sam's anymore. I'm going to buy from you guys. And when you do that, it makes a huge difference in the production cost of this show, the kid that's keeping the show on the air, the archives of the show, and all the things that we have to do and maintain, and Global Star is so good at doing and helping us with. All of this stuff, guys, is so important that we keep it going, because, guys, we're telling you the truth. Nobody else is telling you the stuff we're telling you. I mean, gosh, now I'm going to be talking about why people aren't healed when they pray on Saturday, Friday night, and why people are healed when they pray. I mean, we're going to cover some stuff that's going to really ruffle a lot of feathers on Friday. So, guys, I appreciate you. Awesome. I'm going to write the titles up today, so go ahead and close the show. Love you guys. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Absolutely. And, guys, one last story for you right here. With summer in full swing now, if you guys got dogs, I know some of our listeners got dogs. I have two dogs. I have two blue noses. I love them. They're absolutely awesome. Really, really good with Hunter. But you guys also be careful with spraying your lawn with stuff. I don't spray my lawn at all, period. Never gets any type of pesticides, nothing on it. There's been numerous studies now that have been coming out showing very strong connections between herbicides and lawn chemicals and canine cancer, especially 2,4-D. Recent study found that lawn chemicals travel to untreated neighboring yards as well and inside homes, and with chemicals even being found in the urine of dogs whose owners have never even chemically treated their lawns. A 6-year study by the Tufts University School of Veterinary Medicine linked lawn pesticide to canine malignant lymphoma, finding specifically the use of professionally applied pesticides was associated with a significant 70% higher risk of CML. So look into that. I know some people are all bent on having the prettiest yard in the neighborhood. I don't care. I've dealt with that my whole life. So I never do it. I like my yard the way it is. Mow it and be done with it. Just wanted to throw that out there. Guys, if you need anything, email us. Thank you so much for all the emails we got over the weekend. We're going through them right now. Let us know if you need anything. Call us, 1-800-726-1834. The product of the week's on the website still, the probiotic, 100 billion. So if you want to check that out, that'll be going until Tuesday night. Over 10% off. Definitely a good product to help with the immune system, to help out with overall gut health, stomach, bowel regularity. Very, very good stuff. And then also vote on the other products that we have on there. A lot of good products that are pretty high numbers. Cortisol Busters winning pretty strong right now, which doesn't surprise me. That's probably one of the most popular products that we have. So check it out, guys, on the website, healthmasters.com. You guys have a blessed, safe night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.